Don't touch that dial. Stay a while and listen to the great things that God is doing in the world today. Come fly with Global Air Force.
And in an instant, God changed his future.
In a moment.
In an instant.
In a moment. It was absolutely ridiculous. And praise this kid, he just started weeping. Oh my goodness. And anyone within a 20-foot radius was weeping, you know, after seeing this on his face. Just, it was absolutely precious.
Just like back in Jesus' time. Of course,
we have
the same ministry. The book of Acts says the first verse, it says the ministry which Jesus began to do. The ministry, Luke writes and says, the former account that I wrote, O Theophilus, ministry, and that was the Gospel of Luke. He said that was the ministry which Jesus began to do and teach. Well, that was only the beginning, and it's continuing right on now.
Come on, isn't it?
I love it.
Now, here's your host, Jim Rohn.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force.
Today, we have Chris Ishak back for our program. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Jim. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to have you back. So, we want to travel to another country or some more happenings.
We've got plenty of other countries.
So, you've been in Pakistan and in the Mideast?
Yeah, with a couple other countries very early this year. In January and February, was in a few other nations. Went to the underground church where, and again, in these nations, it's illegal to preach the gospel. But we got to minister to many of the Christians there in the underground church network. And we just saw Jesus show up everywhere. I remember one meeting in particular. It was mostly Arabs in this meeting. And there were maybe 200 in this meeting. And we must have seen 24 tumors disappear.
Oh, my.
We just went for miracles that night. And that was, we saw many other things. But that was when I left. We added up the numbers at the end of the night. And we said, oh, my goodness, we've seen so many tumors disappear in this one meeting. And just praise God. And even today, the reports are still coming in months and months later of people saying, you know, you prayed for me at that service, and the next time I went to my doctor, the tumors and the cysts were all gone.
Oh, wonderful.
So that, praise God, Jesus just showed up everywhere, and his glory was everywhere we went, and we just saw some amazing things happen, both in the church meetings and outside as well, in some of the public areas. We did some healing stuff in a marketplace, and I actually got chased out of there, but, you know, after about 20 minutes, some pretty radical guys. But, you know what, for 20 minutes, almost everyone we were praying for, you name it, they were getting healed.
Wonderful. So exciting.
Yeah.
So exciting. Yeah. I want to go myself.
Come on, let's go. That's what we're going to start doing.
I know the Lord
taking teams in.
Speaks strongly to my heart about the Muslim people. It excites me that they could come to know the Lord, almost more than many other things. Anyhow.
Yeah. Well, there's this phenomena happening all across the, not just the Middle East, but Muslim nations in general, especially in the Southeast Pacific, in the Southeast Asia rather, among the Muslim nations there, where Jesus is appearing to these Muslims, especially to their clerics and the Muslim leaders, where he's appearing to them in dreams and visions and saying, "I'm the one you're looking for," and he's telling them scriptures from Isaiah. Like we met this man in one of the Gulf Arab nations I went to. He's a pretty influential man in the government there, but he's a secret Christian.
I say secret because
his wife isn't quite on board with him, and he knows if he would tell her what he's doing, she would take the kids and leave and report him to the mosque. And in his case, he would most certainly be killed for his beliefs. So we're just praying for him and for his wife that she would meet Jesus the way he did. But here's how he met Jesus. He didn't even know who he was. And he was going to bed one night, and all of a sudden this man, who he described as having the bluest eyes he's ever, the deepest bluest eyes he's ever seen and the biggest smile, walked into his bedroom. This man had a stomach condition. This man, who he didn't know who he was, he just came and he touched his stomach, and he was instantly healed, and he smiled the whole time, and he was healed, and then this man with the blue eyes walked out of the room.
Oh, my.
The next day he mentions this to some Western friends of his who happen to be secret missionaries, and they tell him it's Jesus, and a week later this man is saved.
Oh, my.
I mean, that's how people are getting saved in the Middle East more than anything else.
Wonderful. Praise
Meeting
God.
Meeting Jesus face to face. So, yeah, Jesus definitely has a heart for them, and we're going to see him coming to the kingdom.
That'll be a wonderful revival in the world for Muslims.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I thank you, Lord, for that. Well, where else have you been? What else is on your heart?
Oh, man, this was a big year. I was busy. Often I was gone more than I was home. But it was a good year. It was a really good year. So most recently, a couple of the international trips have included Colombia. I was back to Brazil, which, you know, I absolutely love Brazil and what's happening there. I was back in Brazil for about 4 weeks.
Oh,
and then I just came back just about a week ago. I returned from Australia, where I was there for a couple of weeks, and we saw some amazing things happen there, which I'll tell you about.
Okay.
Colombia, that was back in May.
Why don't we start with Colombia? I've been waiting a long time for that Colombia.
I know you have. Yeah, Colombia was amazing. We saw, I wish I had the stats in front of me, but... So we were there for just about 2 weeks. I had a team of about 24, 25 from the U.S. with me.
Okay.
And we, you know, Randy had been to Colombia 12 years ago, but we haven't been there since.
Oh.
So this year they asked us to come back. I mean, they've asked us to come back quite a bit since then, but we just weren't able to do it. But this year Randy really felt like he wanted to go, so he sent me and went and had a team of about 25. Randy joined us for about 5 days as well. Yeah, we were in three cities. We're in Medellin, Colombia. We were in Cali, and another city called Rio Negro, which isn't as well known or as big as the other two. This was a trip for just miracles. We saw three people just clear up out of wheelchairs, in the city of Cali, Colombia. We were at this church, and again, Randy hadn't been there in 12 years, and the man who leads this church is just an amazing man named Randy McMillan. And I remember one night in particular, I was leading Words of Knowledge, and I knew our team had been praying for this woman who had been in a wheelchair for 7 years. What had happened 7 years before, her niece and her niece's boyfriend... Her niece's boyfriend kidnapped her niece and took her to a city, you know, miles away, another city, and did a murder-suicide, killed his girlfriend, and then turned on himself.
Oh, my.
And the very hour that happened, 7 years ago, the very hour that happened, this woman became paralyzed in her body from her neck down.
Oh, my.
So I know the team was ministering to her for about an hour. And as they're doing that, we just continue on. I mean, God's moving, and you know, we're just following God. So we start doing we start ministering some words of knowledge, and we're in the middle of that. And all of a sudden, this woman, just that they've been praying for, she gets up out of the wheelchair and walks across the front of the church, the entire length of the church, and back to her seat. We just lost it. We must have just worshiped and just lifted our hands to God and thanked him for about 20 minutes.
Place went wild.
We absolutely lost it. Absolutely. Oh. What had happened was this woman, I guess, from what I understand, she wasn't very open to the suggestion that there was what happened with her niece and niece's boyfriend had anything to do with what was happening in her heart and in her body. So as they just continued to minister to her and to pray, the Holy Spirit just started to come on her, and she realized that was the case, that was the truth. And actually, as they were praying, she at first, the first thing she felt was she started to have pain in her foot.
Mm-hmm.
Which she hasn't felt anything in her foot for 7 years. So feeling pain for someone who's a quadriplegic is amazing.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, yeah.
And then she's And it started with just one foot, and the team, instead of getting discouraged and wondering why she wasn't getting up out of the wheelchair, they just saw God is moving in her foot. You know, something is happening there, and they just kept praying over just one foot, and little by little, and it got better, and she started to feel more and more and further up the leg, and then she was able to wiggle her toes for the first time in 7 years, and then move her ankle a little bit, and they just kept, you know, it was slow but steady. And eventually she was actually able to, like I said, get up out of the wheelchair and then walk across the church and back.
Glory
to God. It was remarkable. It was absolutely remarkable.
Glory to God.
Yeah. Okay, so, and like I said, Columbia was amazing. In the 2 weeks there, we ministered to over 10,000 people.
Wow, 10,000.
Yeah. Now, we saw lots of healings. We saw almost 800 people when the team laid hands get healed.
Oh, my.
Like I said, we had a team of about 25 people there. So when they laid hands, we saw almost 800 people healed. But we saw over 1,300 people healed without anyone laying hands. Just in God sovereignly moving, whether it's in words of knowledge or just healing breaking out. We saw over 1,300 people get healed with that. There were quite. We saw almost 1,000 deliverances and emotional and inner healings.
Mm-hmm.
And often it's during that we see the most blasting happen. I'm telling you, the things that happen while people are rolling on the floor are crying and weeping and having these encounters. And they range everything from just a fresh conviction from the Holy Spirit of sin that might be in their life.
Mm-hmm.
To going into visions and trances and experiences where they're seeing the destiny God's laid ahead of them, to inner healing or deliverance. I mean, the things that happen are immeasurable.
Wow.
But I can tell you, every single person who has an experience like that experiences a renewal in their life and a renewal in their walk with God. And personally, I know that there might be some teaching out there that says, well, you know, if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, all right, you've got it for the rest of your life. You know what? I want to experience it as much as I can. It's not a one-time thing. I want to experience that as much as I absolutely can. If we were to cut experience out of the Bible, we'd have to cut out one-third of the Bible, which is based on experiencing power and the presence and the form of the Lord.
So we would have to cut out one-third of the Bible to eliminate the experience, that people have with the Lord and his presence. Isn't that interesting?
It is, and it's funny because we want to relegate the gospel, we want to relegate the Bible to just doctrine and theology.
Rhetoric is not enough for the world. Just rhetoric is not enough.
And I have nothing against knowledge or doctrine or theology. I want to get mine as down as I can, and I absolutely love knowledge. I read and I write, and I want to grow. I mean, we want to grow in knowledge, and Paul really exhorted us to do that in Colossians, and to grow in the knowledge of God in Colossians 1.
And
I want those things, but that doesn't, we need to have both. We need to have the knowledge, and we need to have the experience of it.
That's right. That's a complete package there.
Absolutely. When Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, actually, that word know, many people know this, but it's the Greek word epinosis, which is actually an experiential knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So it's both together. Let me just tell you what is my absolute favorite testimony from Columbia. This absolutely blew me away.
Great.
We could be here from now till tomorrow. It was such a powerful trip just about Columbia. I mean, really, God poured out his anointing and his love and his power and his presence everywhere we went. But this one is just absolute. This blows my mind. There was a little boy who came up. He was 9 years old, who came up to me for prayer, and his mother, he was a little shy, so his mother kind of told me what had happened 2 years before. He had broken his arm, and the family was very, very poor and couldn't afford to go to a doctor. So the arm kind of healed itself, and when it set, he broke it about halfway between his elbow and his wrist, and he broke it in a way that, and when it set itself, it actually, his arm healed at an almost 30-degree angle.
a 30-degree angle.
Yeah, it was actually, I mean, I'm a little weak in the stomach. I'll just admit that. And actually, when I saw it, I was like, oh my goodness, it's actually quite a long arm.
Yeah.
It's like he's got two elbows, except one he can't move.
Oh my.
And not only can't he move that, but his right arm, his whole right arm is affected by it, in particular his wrist. He has no lateral movement in his wrist, and while he can move his fingers, he can't quite move them enough to make a fist. But he can at least move them. You know, if an object is big enough, he can grab it. But still, he's 9 years old, and he's got the rest of his life to look to having a deformed arm like this. And so we prayed for him, and I don't know, Jim must have prayed 30 seconds, and, you know, he didn't pray long at all. And I put my arm right on where that break was, and I just kept commanding, let every crooked path be made straight. And I don't think I prayed anything else. I just prayed that over and over. Every crooked path be made straight, and I'm telling you, in an instant, all of a sudden, we just moved into place. It wasn't a gradual thing. I felt it under my hand move.
Oh me! And your hands were on
my hands were right
that
on
second
it,
elbow. Your hands were on it.
Right, and I'm telling you, this 9 year old, he couldn't believe what happened. All of a sudden, he just said. And he's got this look of just bewilderment on his face, and he didn't know what happened. He's staring at his arm, and it's straight.
Listen
to this. Here's the big test. I told him, I said, listen, man, I'm like, move your wrist, because he couldn't move it. He had no lateral movement, and all of a sudden he starts to move it, and he makes one complete revolution with his wrist, and then loses it. I mean, he just starts weeping.
Oh,
I mean, think about it. He's 9 years old. He's just starting out his life, and he's anticipating the rest of his life having this deformity and not being able to move his fingers fully and his wrist at all. And he's got this ugly deformity. I mean, it really was. I'm not trying to be mean, or I'm just telling you what it was. And in an instant, God changed his future.
In a moment,
it was absolutely ridiculous. It was, and praise to this kid, he just started weeping. Oh my goodness! And anyone within a 20-foot radius was weeping. You know, after seeing this on his face, it was absolutely precious.
Just like back in Jesus' time, of course.
Yeah,
we have the same ministry. The Book of Acts says the first verse. It says the ministry which Jesus began to do. The ministry, Luke writes and says, the former account that I wrote, O Theophilus, ministry, and that was the Gospel of Luke, he said that was the ministry which Jesus began to do and teach. Well, that was only the beginning, and it's continuing right on now.
Come on, isn't it?
I love it, I love it. Go on there. What else have you got for us?
We did an event out in Utah with an amazing church family out there that I absolutely love. And then went to Seattle, where we had a healing school in Seattle. The Northwest isn't somewhere that we've gone an awful lot, especially in the last few years. But we had a great school. We saw quite a few significant healings. But we went from there, and let me move on. I mean, I could tell you stories from every place, but I want to get to Brazil.
Okay.
Because I left right from Seattle for Brazil. We went to the city called Curitiba.
Brazil.
It's in the south of Brazil.
What's the name of that town again?
It's called Curitiba. It's in the state of Paraná. It's a little bit west of São Paulo. Most people know where São Paulo is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, this was such a wonderful trip. If you remember last time we spoke, that trip in particular, that trip 3 years ago, absolutely changed my life.
Ooh.
The trip that I'm doing. Is the one I won't share my whole testimony again, Jim, but this is the one where I went on almost by accident, where I didn't believe in healing, and someone paid for me to go on this trip, and I went and just got my life turned upside down. So because of that, this is now the fourth Youth Power Invasion since then, and I've gone on every single one. The first one, like I said, I went on as a team member and as a leader for my church. But since then, I've been going, representing Global and serving Global, getting to pour into the youth who come. This is one of the highest priorities of my year.
Okay.
I don't plan my itinerary until I know what the dates are for this, just because it absolutely changed my life. And while I love Brazil and I love what's happening, and I go there several times a year for the last few years, getting ready to go again in December, while Brazil is amazing, the reason I go is for the youth who go.
Mm-hmm.
Because every year we're seeing more and more youth. We're talking 13 to 29-year-old.
Okay.
Who come on this trip, and they see miracles, many of them for the first time. Mm. They get their first words of knowledge.
Mm.
They see God moving through them, not through their parents, not through their pastor, not through some guy on TV, not even through, you know, I mean, they see
right through their own hands. They are
through the, absolutely
without a lot of training.
We do train them, but not they're. I mean, they're 14, 15, 19, 20 years old.
And that's the way to start life.
We do train them. We spend a lot of time pouring into them. And it's because of what happens when they come back to the U.S. Like I said, Brazil is amazing. And there's see, Peter Wagner says that Brazil is the nation most on fire for the Holy Spirit and for the gospel.
You started to tell me a little bit about your testimony. You said 3.5 years ago this changed your life. What changed your life?
Well, that's what it was. You know, I had met Jesus a few years before then. But wasn't really walking with the Lord. I mean, no one can ever take away my salvation experience. I mean, even though I wasn't walking with the Lord, I know I was saved because I had the grace and the faith for it. And again, it was short lived, unfortunately, and I quickly backslid. But I still knew who Jesus was, even though I chose not to walk with Him.
Mm.
And it wasn't until three years ago. July of 2006,
mm-hmm.
that someone gave me a free trip to Brazil, and I didn't really, I was barely saved, but I was saved, but barely saved, was not walking with Jesus.
You had no idea what you were getting into.
Absolutely not. I mean, to tell you the truth, I thought healing, I didn't know much about healing. I was pretty ignorant of the subject. But what I saw were some of the abuses of it. You know, you'd hear about such and such a preacher who fell, or such and such who's hoarding money for this or that, and, you know, doing it in the name of healing. And that's all I knew about it. So my opinion of it was very negative. And I thought healing was the biggest deception in the church.
You just didn't believe in it, and you thought
No.
it was a deception. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was the power of psychological suggestion was all healing was.
Okay. You didn't have faith for healing, in other words.
I barely had faith in the walk with Jesus. So. But no,
okay.
I did not have faith for healing
at all.
I thought, well, this is just for simple-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
Who, you know, in third world countries, that someone who looks like they've got their stuff together comes to them and tells them they're healed, and oh my goodness, all of a sudden, my mind is believing what they're saying, so it tells my body to ignore pain. That's what I thought healing was, divine healing.
Okay,
I didn't believe in the power of God, that God still moved and God still spoke today and performed miracles and did all the stuff that He never said I intend to stop. You know, I had no experience with it.
Yeah, as Randy said, he was raised on a lot of unbelief.
yeah. So I found myself in Brazil, and I brought work boots and jeans because I thought we were going to build homes for the poor. And next thing I know, they're telling us we've got to lead healing meetings. And I mean, to make a long story short, here's what it was. You know what? We saw amazing miracles, and no kidding. They asked me to lead healing meetings.
They asked you to lead them?
Because I came as a leader from my church.
Oh, my.
So they assumed that I know what I'm doing.
You were a believer that didn't believe.
Right, absolutely. And but you know what? So we saw the most amazing miracles. I mean, I saw a person in the middle of an epileptic seizure get delivered on the floor of a church.
Oh, glory to God.
Never had it, and I still keep in touch with her. I kept in touch with him for several years after, and he's never had another seizure. Saw a woman get up out of a wheelchair. Saw a woman who'd been electrocuted and pain affected her wrist. She had constant pain in her wrist, and she gets healed 100%. Saw blind eyes open, deaf ears hear.
Oh, my.
Saw a little 7-year-old boy. No one even prayed for him. But a Christian gave this 7-year-old boy a hug in the name of Jesus. And for 7 years, this boy had never spoken. He'd never heard. And he's never walked in his life. He's lame, deaf, and mute.
And nome de Jesus.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Someone gave him a hug. And all of a sudden, he's running around the church, hearing his name for the first time and saying the name of his father.
Oh, incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Miracle. It is, absolutely. And I'm not trying to discount or distract from any of the miracles, but I'll tell you what did it, what changed my life. It wasn't a miracle. It wasn't seeing a healing. It was experiencing for the first time in my life. I mean, I'm super young. I'm 21 years old.
Oh, my.
22, excuse me. I'm 22 years old, and I'm experiencing for the first time in my life the love of God.
The love of God.
Someone,
yes.
You know what, someone came by and they were praying for us, and they came by and they laid their hands on me and they said, a baptism of love.
Oh my, you got it.
Batismo de amor in Portuguese, batismo de amor.
And you got it.
And next thing I know, I can take you back to that hotel. I could show you the spot on the floor where I laid for hours.
Oh, glory to God.
The love of God just came washing over me.
That's beautiful.
And oh my goodness! I it was the first time in my life I ever experienced anything like that.
Oh, that's
beautiful. Where I experienced the presence of a father who absolutely loved me in spite of all my problems. Everyone's got their crap. I'm sorry. Can I say that?
Yeah.
Got their crap, and I had mine. And in spite of all that, because in my mind those were that I had a running list of all the things that kept me from God.
Mm.
And in spite of my list, Father God showed up and he said, son, I love you, and absolutely wrecked me.
And it's just wonderful what you're saying. So many people need to know the love of God like that.
Yeah.
Not a lot of logic, not a lot of preaching, not a lot of doctrine, but just God's pure love.
Sail on when the water gets high. Sail on when the wind starts to die. Sail on. It's just a matter of minutes till this trip comes to get us, and we'll all get in it. When we're all born, we're set up to sea, looking for answers continuously. And then when we find out to him we belong, we watch for the signs and keep sailing on. Sail on. When the water gets high, sail on. When the wind starts to die, sail on.
Sail on.
It's just a matter of minutes till the ship comes to get us, and we'll all get in. Cast up your sail and let the wind blow.
Let the wind blow.
Let your ship lose control. Just keep your compass set on the side.
Set on the side.
You gotta sail into our beautiful home.
We can afford to throw our lives
to the wind.
To the wind.
To the wind.
Listen in to a radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
If you want to hear the songs of Zion coming from the land of endless spring, get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on and listen to the music in the air.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Listen in to the boyline chorus, listen to the glad hosannas roll. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Get a little taste of joy awaiting, get a little heaven in your soul. Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force.